Go ahead, turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Well, we've got some visitors from Indiana here tonight. Is that Ed? That's good to have y'all with us tonight. We're going to have an abbreviated service tonight. Usually the fifth Sunday of the month, we have our congregational meeting after our 5 o'clock service. And we changed it to the fourth Sunday, the 22nd, since Robert will be gone next week. And so we're going to be having that tonight, our congregational meeting. And so we usually have an abbreviated sermon, and then we will have the congregational meeting afterwards. What we'll do is, in our order of service, is that we will have the regular order. I will preach, and then we'll have the song after the lesson. If anyone wants to partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll provide that after that. We'll then have our announcements, and then immediately after the announcements, we go into the congregational meeting. Those of you who are visiting are welcome to stay, but if you're wanting, you may leave after that. As we then go into our congregational meeting. And then after the congregational meeting, we'll have a prayer. I think William will lead that prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. But that is our service this evening. And we're glad that you're here. Appreciate so much you being here. Brother Ed, is it Wrangell, isn't it? Yeah, from Indiana, preaches in Morgantown or Spearsville Road. I guess you're still there. And that's where Jane was a member at one time, and when we go back, we will visit there with them. And I notice they're visiting with us tonight, and it's just good to have them with us tonight. You know, there are a lot of great things about being a Christian. We are blessed in so many ways because we're children of God, we're disciples of Christ. And one part of that is that we're part of a family. We are in a family where we have the same Father, who is God our Father, and we, in our relationship with one another, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we share many things together, the joys of being a Christian, of being a saved, of having the hope of eternal life. And worship services such as this is an example of the things that we enjoy together as we offer our praises to God and as we help one another, as we edify one another in our times together. And I'm thankful for the church here. I'm thankful for you and the fact that I know that there are brethren that will be there for me no matter what. No matter what I might go through in life, I know that I have brethren here who will help me through this. And these are some of the blessings that we enjoy as Christians and being a part of the family of God. But we must appreciate that with this great blessing comes also some great responsibilities. There are things that we do for each other because we're family, and there are things that we may do that sometimes that we may not really enjoy doing. It may be even difficult and unpleasant. And one of those is found here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And Paul says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Restore such a one who's been overtaken or caught in a trespass. We're to try to restore that one in a spirit of gentleness. Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever gone to someone who's committed sin, try to bring them to repentance? It's not always pleasant, is it? Matter of fact, it's very fearful. And because it's an unpleasant task, it is often neglected, but it is vital. If we're going to be what the Lord wants us to be as a family and helping one another go to heaven, we must go to those who've committed sin and strive to bring them to repentance. That is, those who have not repented. And think about it. You know, what kind of family would we have If we enjoy one another's company, but we're unwilling to do the difficult things that families sometimes have to do, you know, the raising of children, that's not always pleasant. The disciplining of children, correcting them, correcting each other, husbands and wives correcting one another, holding each other accountable. Sometimes though that's difficult within a family. And some might argue that those who do not do that really are not part of a family at all, and I think they may make a pretty good argument. That if you're not involved in that kind of activity, you're not really part of much of a family. Because that's what love does. Those who love one another, and family do love one another, they are the ones who are going to be there for one another to help one another be right, do what's right, to be what they ought to be. And so the Paul here admonishes us to restore such a one who's been overtaken in a trespass. Because it happens. There are times that our brethren sometimes are overtaken in a trespass. They commit sin and they don't repent. Maybe they don't know that it is sin at this point. It happened to Simon. You remember in Acts chapter 8, after Simon, among the other Samaritans, believed and was baptized, he committed a sin. You remember he had been a sorcerer, and he bewitched the people, thought of being some great one. And here he saw that by the laying on of the hands of the apostles, the Holy Spirit was imparted to others, and he wanted that power. And he offered them money that they might give him that power, that on whomsoever he laid his hands, they might receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter rebuked him, you remember. It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 21, beginning of verse 20, Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." Peter had to rebuke him, had to do what he needed to do to bring him to repentance. And oddly enough, this same Peter, who was doing the rebuking here, had to be rebuked, you remember, at one time. Look back in Galatians chapter 2, when Paul came to Antioch. It says in verse 11, when Peter had come to Antioch, he says, "I was stood into his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." So here now Paul is having to rebuke a veteran disciple. So whether it is a new convert or whether it is a veteran disciple, there are times that sin is committed, and we have to rebuke, we have to reprove, we have to strive to restore the one who's overtaken in the trespass. And so it happens. We have an enemy, you see, who's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And none of us are perfect. We all at times commit sin, and hopefully what we all do is that we repent immediately and we'd ask God to forgive us, and God forgives. But sometimes we don't. And sometimes we may not know we're wrong. And that's where my brethren come in. That's where I want them to come to me. And we all should want one another. And if we all have that desire, it's not going to be as a fearful a thing. But the reason it's fearful is because there's some brethren who just don't like to be criticized. Some brethren who just don't like somebody coming to them and telling them that they've done wrong. And it is hard to receive criticism. It is hard for someone to come and to say, you know, you've committed sin, you've done wrong. But we should desire that because we want salvation. And it is indeed a serious matter because the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. Remember what James says in James chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. It says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, notice, when it is full grown, brings forth death." That's what happens when a person continues in sin. He will die. If he doesn't repent of that sin and seek God's forgiveness, then he will die. And if he dies in that condition, he will be separated from God for an eternity. I know there are some who teach that it's impossible for one who is saved to fall away and go back into sin and be lost. But the Bible teaches clearly that it is possible for one who has become a Christian to commit sin. It's possible for me to do that. And so I have to put up my guard. But there are times I commit sin, and maybe because of my pride I'm not willing to see it, not willing to admit it. I need my brethren. I need them to come and to bring that to my attention. And the goal, of course, of all of this is to save a soul from death. Remember, James says in James 5, verses 19 and 20, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." That's what we want. That's what our desire is to save a soul from death. What about you go to them and they don't respond very well? Matter of fact, they get angry. Or they say, "Well, I'm not going to change." And it indeed is a sad moment. And of course, the Bible tells us there are steps that we must take, things that we must do to bring them to repentance. Now, if you remember in Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 15, Jesus said, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you," all right, here's a brother who sinned, and in this case, it's a personal sin against you. He says, "Go, tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." In other words, other efforts are to be made in order to bring this sinner to his senses, to get him to see the error of his way, so that he might repent and be saved. And so eventually we tell the whole church, so that the whole church then can go and to bring that brother or sister to repentance. You know, we have an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 of one in the church in Corinth who had committed fornication with his father's wife, and he had not repented. And so Paul tells them, beginning with verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 5, "For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Delivering him unto Satan is the same as what Jesus said in Matthew 18, "Count him as a tax collector and a heathen." In other words, he's no longer a part of the faithful. And he needs to see that he's no longer a part of the faithful. He's no longer part of the saved, so that he might repent and be saved. And that's what Paul says here. "Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." As I understand that, the flesh is what got him in trouble. He was a fornicator, and he needed to destroy the flesh. He needed to allow the Spirit to direct his life rather than his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He would deprive himself of maybe certain pleasures, but it's in order that he might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, to repent of that sin, to turn away from those sins, so that he could be forgiven and be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That is the day that the Lord comes. That's the goal. That's what the purpose is of this disciplinary action. And that's what families do. Families do what it takes to save and to help one another. And in the family of God, our primary goal is to save souls, is for everyone to be saved, so that they can be what God wants them to be, and so that they can live with the Lord for all eternity. And so let's think of it in those terms. We're in a family. We enjoy great blessings. But it also means great responsibilities. And that's the responsibility of helping someone who's in sin to come back And so let's do that and meet those responsibilities, even though it's not always pleasant, it's not something that we enjoy doing, but it's something we must do because we love people. And we want a soul who is a sinner to be saved, for his sins to be covered, to be forgiven. Well, that's the lesson for this evening. And I will go ahead and mention during our congregational meeting, we're going to be talking about some disciplinary action. And these are some things that we'll be discussing. And I hope that we'll keep these things in mind that we've talked about here. And I know that you will as we talk about what we can do to restore certain ones who've been involved in sin and who've refused to repent. There may be some here tonight who are not in the family of God. You're not a part of that family and enjoy the blessings of that family. You can be. The Lord's made it possible whereby you can be forgiven of your sins and be His child. And but you need to come. The Lord's made provision, but He calls upon you to come to Him. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to come to Jesus tonight. Come to Him believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. If you fall away, you've become a Christian, but you've gone back into sin, the Lord's provided a way whereby you can be forgiven by repenting of your sins, confessing your sins, and praying God for forgiveness. And we encourage you to do that. If you want the prayers of the brethren, we encourage you to come. If you need to come, why not come while together we stand and sing?